to say a prayer. Dear Lord, we honor you this morning. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to stand, that we might be able to share your word. We ask you to give us the ability to share what you've given us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we don't have anything to say. We don't know anything without you. But you, if you guide us, we'll do what you said do, and we'll say what you said say. In the name of Jesus, bless us, we pray. Thank the Lord. Amen. Amen. Giving unto God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank God for the Holy Spirit that leads and guides our life. Amen. We thank the Lord for an opportunity to be here today. We can stand here and look at you all. Amen. I was just telling all the time be coming here. This morning it came in a little kind of dark. So I hope I'll be able to see what I need to see. Praise the Lord. I just wanted to say I thank God for my brother being with me. Tim. Amen. He's my driver today and my helper. He's my younger brother. He's number 21. I'm number 3. We thank God for him. And good to see all of you guys. Amen. Always good to see Bishop Scott and my preacher friend, Apostle Hines. Amen. And of course, Michael Price and all the rest of you all. Thank God for all of you. We thank God for you. We pray that you'll be blessed today. Amen. Thank God for the rain. I guess I can go ahead and get started then. I thank God for an opportunity to share with you today. Thank God for Bishop Scott inviting me to come. Amen. And it's always a privilege to be able to stand and share the word of God. Amen. I thank God for what he has done and what he is doing. And I thank God for Bishop Scott as well. And I wish him a happy birthday. Amen. He's getting close to me. In fact, the 4th of October, I'll be looking at my 72nd birthday. Amen. Man. He asked me to share with you all today on the breakfast, and I've eaten, so I guess now I share. And we normally share from the Measure of a Man. And I got the book, and I checked it out. And I was looking in the book, and it was talking about, I looked at the first chapter. It was talking about becoming a faithful man. And so we're going to be sharing today about faith. Amen. It might not be from the book, but it's going to be from the book. Amen. We're going to share with you today, and hopefully you can glean something. Amen. And you can learn something about faith. That first chapter in the book, it says, becoming a faithful man. And I hope that's the aspiration of all of us who are here, becoming a faithful man. Because we have a faithful God. and a faithful Savior. And I want to be like him. In looking at the at faith, I was mindful to look back at a prophetic scripture in the Old Testament, one of the minor prophets. He was talking about his faith. And I want to share one of those prophetic scriptures with you today. It was one of them. And there was a minor prophet named Habakkuk. And he was talking about in 2 and 4. He was saying how that we're talking about his faith. Amen. Habakkuk 2 and 4 said, "Well, justified by his faith." Amen. And that's one of the scriptures we're going to be speaking of. And then we're going to speak on one of the main scriptures from Hebrews, the 12th chapter. When we look at justified by his faith, we're going to talk about his faith. That's a prophetic scripture that really introduces us to salvation and also to the gospel. And we all know that it's because of the faith of Jesus Christ that we have come to believe God, we've been justified with God, and because of his faith, we receive salvation. And so his faith should really mean a lot to us, because his faith is important. He was faithful in all his house, and everything that he was supposed to do, he did it. And so he's a really good example of being faithful. And all of us need to look at his faith, because it is because of his faith and his righteousness we received righteousness and faith from God. So his faith is very important. Amen. Jesus, when he came preaching the gospel, it says that the kingdom of God was at hand, and he called every man to repent and believe the gospel. And we receive the gospel by our faith in him. So faith is important. Amen. Not just to be saved by, but to live by. A lot of us, we have faith for salvation, but like I said, that's his faith to bring us salvation. But we had to maintain it. We had to walk in it. And that's what God called us to do. And hopefully that's what we are doing. Amen. Walking in his faith. Because God wants us to be faithful to him. And before I can look at faith, I want to say something about trust. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thy own understanding. But in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." Amen. I believe that trust comes before faith. And when we have faith, that means we have, our faith is strong because of trust. Because when we trust in the Lord, that means we depend on him. We have confidence in him. And it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own understanding. But in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And I believe that trust comes before faith, because faith is very important. Trust means we have confidence in God. And as we more confident we have in him, the more we trust him, and more faith we have in him, more faith we'll have in him. Amen. So we need to really look at having faith, because Paul talked about the church at Antioch. You know, when he went on Mars Hills, and he saw, he said there was a worshiping an unknown God, and he said, but they was too superstitious. And I find that when you don't have trust in God, you're superstitious. You know, you're kind of apprehensive and superstitious about people and about things. But when you have trust in God, it alleviates, you get rid of superstition. You don't have time to be superstitious. We have a lot of people who are so-called Christians, but they are superstitious. So you can't really be superstitious and have faith in God. Amen. Because if you have faith in God, you won't be superstitious. You won't be so paranoid all the time, watching. Amen. But faith is something we need. So we need to have to begin by trusting God and then depend upon God. God is faithful. And he requires us to be faithful. In fact, there's a question that Jesus asked in the 18th chapter of Luke, in the 8th verse. He said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on earth? Amen. So a lot of us, like I said, when we can say we have faith, but we don't walk in it. We don't maintain it. But faith is not just a salvation type thing. We don't just come to him by faith. We live by faith. We walk by faith. And that should be an everyday activity in our lives, that we walk with God, that we might have faith in him. There's another scripture I want to look at. It's Hebrews 12 and 2. Paul said this, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You see that? He's the author and finisher of what? Our faith. It didn't just say his faith. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. So he's the one who brought us to faith, and he's the one who's with us in faith and walked with us according to faith. Amen. He is the author. You know, I was thinking about when Christ was first coming on the scene in John, I think the 4th chapter in the 34th verse, he said, my meat is to do the will of the Father and to finish his work. Y'all remember that? Yes. He is a one who, he started out from the beginning with finishing. He said, my meat is to do the will of the Father and to finish. You see that? See, it takes faith to finish. We have a lot of people who make a good start. Jet starts. They, you know, start off in high gear. They don't even run one lap, and they're tired. But Jesus let them know that I'm in this race to win. He said, I'm here to finish the course. See, we need some finishers. We need somebody who's in this race to stay. Not just surviving, not just trying to make it. You know, like I say all the time, well, I'm just trying to make it. We need to do better than that. We need to make it. Amen. Because all we have to do is just follow him. And if we follow him, we will make it. So Jesus let us understand that he's in this race to stay. And he's going to finish the work. And so if we're connected to him, we ought to be some finishers. We need to change our profile to be finishers. And he is the author, and he is a finisher. Amen. He started to work in us, and he's not going to leave us. He said he won't forsake us. But he'll be with us all the way, at all time, in all things, in all situations. He's with us to stay. Amen. He said, I'm here with you from the beginning, and I'm going to keep on stay with you through the end. Paul said it like this. He said, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And that's where I am. I believe. I've committed myself to him, and I know he can keep me. And I'm just going to stay with him until that day comes. I'm not rushing my way out, day by day. Enjoying the day. Enjoying the journey. Yes, I've learned something about, you know, this life is the journey that really makes us. Mm-hmm. Amen. And the journey includes everything. I hear a lot of folks say they have some bad days. Mm-hmm. And there's a song about some, I have some bad days, I have some good days. Mm-hmm. But I haven't had any bad days. I don't have bad days. Because every day I find something good about it. And I've said it some time ago, is that I've learned that every morning I get up, it's a miracle. I experience a miracle every day. I know when I was in the 70s, I had a back injury, and when I got out of military, they put me in the hospital, and they did one of those mammograms, that what they did then, and they was gonna do back surgery, and this surgeon, he did the mammogram, he looked at my papers, brought me in his office. He said, Mr. Holland, he said, I can understand why you even walk, why you even stand up. He said, I wouldn't dare touch your back. He said, I can't understand how you can walk. And I said, well, I do. I was a walking miracle. And so all along, I've experienced the miracles of God. And I'm still here today. After going through what I went through, amen, I'm still here. I'm still on this side. Amen. And at age 65, I had 3 strokes. Amen. Lost my sight. And then that was in 2011. 2014, had another stroke. The first time I had 3. The second time I had 12. But I'm still here. Amen. Because God is faithful. Amen. And I just walk in faith every day. Amen. Sometimes not seeing as well as other days, but seeing. Amen. So I thank God. Praise the Lord. It's a good thing to still be here. Praise the Lord. I met a guy, he was in the gym. He was 84 years old. And I asked him, I said, how you doing? He said, considering the alternative, I'm doing great. Amen. So God is a good God. Praise the Lord. So Paul said, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep me against that day. And I believe that Jesus can keep me every day. Praise the Lord. Titus 3:8 said, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain in good works. Amen. See, we need to maintain our faith. Amen. We need to keep on going. Faith is a belief or confidence towards God involving commitment of ourselves to his will for one's life. It's not a partial thing. It's a lifetime thing. And I'm in this thing to stay. Go all the way. Amen. I'm a finisher. Amen. And I say it like this, I'm going to finish strong. Yes, sir. Amen. I've never done anything half-hearted. I'm not going to start now. All right. Praise the Lord. Romans 3:24-25 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. See, it's all through faith in Christ. Amen. We need to be faithful to him, because it's his faith that got us to be where we are today. Amen. James 1:2-3 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And Jesus said this, Luke 21:19, in your patience possess ye your souls. Amen. Faith helps us to learn patience. Patience helps us to possess our souls. So Christ is our example, and we need to be like him. Praise the Lord. Jesus is what we need to aim at. We need to be just like him. 1 Peter 2:21-25 said, for even unto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who was, when he was reviled, revived not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. his own self by our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Who's that sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. See, we need to understand that Jesus is our example. A lot of people look at his death, but I really look at his life, because Jesus really showed us how we're supposed to live. In fact, he came as a man to live a life as a man, to show man what man's supposed to be like. And he's our example. Out of all the examples that we have in the Bible, the only one that we really have to go by is him. He came and lived and showed us exactly how we are to live. He showed us. Amen. And then it says in Hebrews 2 and 9, where we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. And that by the grace of God, he should taste death for every man. See, Jesus came to taste death for all of us. You know that there was the last enemy they called was death. And man was afraid of that. And Jesus came down and tackled that enemy. And he went into death, and he robbed death of his sting, which was sin. And he made it possible for to go through it. And so just because Jesus went through death, we can go through death also. And even the grave, he robbed the grave of his victory. So Jesus went and tasted death for every man. So all of us here, we don't have to die. Amen. Because he died in our place. And he took care of all of our sins. The Lord said, the Bible said he took all our sins upon him who knew no sin. And we was made, because of God, his righteousness by Jesus Christ. We was made right. None of us deserve righteousness. None of us deserve salvation. We gained it because of Jesus Christ. He gave it to us. And all we have to do is believe in him. And believe it, and we can keep it. Amen. And so, why not believe? It wasn't anything that you did. See, a lot of times people, they try to be so good. None of us was good. There was none righteous. None of us was worth anything. But Christ died for all of us. And because of Christ, all of us have been saved. None of us was worthy to be saved on ourselves. It was something it was given to us by the grace of God. And so don't care who you are sitting beside or who's around you, you're not better than anybody else. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. But because of Christ, we have been made alive. You know, I hear a lot of folks, they say, well, we're saved sinners. I'm not. Amen. Because the Bible tells me, it says through one man's sin, all was made sinners. But through one man's righteousness, all was made righteous. I've been made right. I've been made free from sin. So I'm not a sinner saved by grace. I was a sinner. But since I'm saved by grace, I'm free. Amen. I don't have to sin now. I don't have the have to anymore. I'm free. Amen. A lot of people say, well, you know, I just can't help it. I don't have to can't help it. Because I got power over sin. Amen. And through the Holy Spirit. See, one thing that Christ knew, he knew I needed to be saved. And he knew I needed the Holy Spirit. Or I couldn't stay saved. A lot of y'all are trying to stay saved without the Holy Spirit. But let me show you something. Christ was, he's our example. Remember when I said that? Christ is our example. When Christ got baptized, he left and went into the wilderness. He was led by the Holy Spirit. From that point on till he died, led by the Holy Spirit. You see, if Christ is going to be on earth and had to be guided by the Holy Spirit, don't you think we have to do half of it too? He didn't do anything without the Holy Spirit. Everything he did was by the Holy Spirit. All his life was guided by the Holy Spirit. So all of us need the same thing. Even when he knew he was a son of God, but that, he didn't give him no free pass. The Bible says that he was subject to his mother. And it says that he grew and waxed strong in wisdom and in favor with God and man. Did y'all read that? With favor with God and man. See, favor with God comes first, and God takes care of the favor with man. We're trying to please man, but Christ was pleasing God. And my job is to please God, not man. You might not like me, that's okay. We're not age brothers, that's okay. You ain't got nowhere to put me. But God is one whom I'm trying to please. My desire is to please him. I might have a good name with you, that's okay. If I don't, that's okay. But I'm walking with God. Jesus followed God. And I find if we will follow God, if we follow him like Christ did, we'll be better. Jesus helped us understand that if we don't follow him, we're none of his. Jesus' responsibility was to please God while he was here. He's to be a witness for God. And what's our responsibility? Our responsibility to be a witness for him. When you read about Christ, He often signed, he said, for God's sake. And for us, it ought to be for Christ's sake, not for our sake. We do things for Christ's sake. Jesus, he said he didn't do anything of his own. But all that the Father wanted him to do, that's what he did. And that's what we need to be about his business. See, Jesus came to minister the gospel to the world. Amen. And he called us to help him do that, to be a witness to that. He witnessed to every creature. Amen. He preached. Tells us in Colossians that he preached to every creature. How did he do that? All the ones who was alive when he was here, he preached to them. 30 years he walked the earth preaching. Then that 3 days later, he died, he went down. As Peter said, and preach to the spirits in prison. He preached to every creature that had been on the earth. He preached from that for the time he was here all the way back to the beginning. That was his job. Our job is to preach all the way to the ending. So he carried the job, he carried the message back to the beginning. Where to carry it to the end. Because it says in Matthew 24:14. It tells us that we must preach the gospel to every nation. And after that, the end come. See, we're to preach the gospel all the way to the end. Amen. So Christ took care of back to the beginning. It's our responsibility to preach it to the end. So as long as the word is still here, we need to keep on preaching. Sharing the word of God. That's our job. Our job is to fulfill what he started. Amen. He started the work, and he wanted to finish it. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. We finish with him. Praise the Lord. When we understand that, we will do better. We need the Holy Spirit, y'all. You can't change without the Holy Spirit. He's the one that transforms us. See, a lot of times we say, you know, and we say, be not conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can't do it yourself. You need the Holy Spirit to do that. He is the one that works in us. Amen. Renewing us. You can't do it yourself. Sometimes that's a problem. You try and do it yourself. He knew I couldn't do it myself. He knew I needed some help. Yes. I needed some power.
All right.
Power to do that.
All right.
Amen. And so that's why the Holy Spirit is here. Holy Spirit is to help us to be who God called us to be.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
And we can't do it. We can't be without him. And after he finished transforming us, guess what he's going to do? He's going to glorify us.
All right, that's good.
Lord. Have us ready for Christ to be like him when he come back again. That's the work of the Holy Spirit.
All
right. Let me help you something now. See, a lot of people, they say, well, you know, I'm sealed. I ain't got to do nothing. Yes, we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. What that means is if we follow the Holy Spirit direction, we won't miss heaven. We got to follow him. It ain't automatic. We got to follow him. He said that we need to follow him. Amen. He's lead us into all truth. He don't drag us. Let me tell y'all something. Heaven is for volunteers. The Holy Spirit is not going to drag anybody to heaven. God's not going to drag anybody to heaven. The Holy Spirit is going to guide us there. By following him. Yes, we'll see you. There's no way I can miss it if I keep it to stay with him. I'm going to follow him.
All right.
Amen. I'm going to stay with the Holy Spirit. Because he knows everything. Let me help y'all some more. Because see, a lot of y'all think, well, he's just spiritual. He's everything. He knows everything. He knows the church. He knows your job. I was in the Air Force. And I was a maintenance superintendent. A lot of things I didn't know. I had no idea. But the Holy Spirit knew. There was times I went and had problems on the airplane. I couldn't fix it. I didn't know how to fix it. But the Holy Spirit knew how to fix it. You know, they used to have problems, you know, with the plane. They call C&D. You couldn't duplicate it, and you assign it off. You got to find the problem.
Yeah.
If a pilot fly a plane, and they have a problem in the plane, they come down and tell you, you got to find what it is to fix it. If not, it's going to break again. They don't have time to pull over and fix anything there. You can't C&D it. You got to fix it. And so at many times, they're C&D stuff, and they just sign off, you know, could not duplicate. No, you got to duplicate it. And so there was time we had problems, they could not find what the answer was, and had specialists out looking at the airplane, didn't know what to do. And I prayed, the Lord said, okay, this is what to do. I told the specialists, look on the circuit breaker panel. Check the miscellaneous relay panel. He said, you're not a specialist, I'm not. You don't know what you're talking about. I said, I don't. I said, but the Holy Spirit told me. And they checked it. That's what the problem was. God knows everything. I don't care what it is. He knows everything. You people that go to school, your students, he know your lesson. I was in school, you know, had problems, couldn't work them out. I pray about it, and God gave me the answer. He knows everything. Not just spiritual. He knows everything. God showed me something. He said he's God. He's a master of everything. You get a degree. A degree, guess what it is? That's a degree. A degree. But God is a master of everything. He knows everything. Praise God. When you go to God, he got to go to try to research anything. He knows it all. And he'll tell you about it. Faith does that. You can be in school and have faith in God. God will work your problem. He'll help you. He'll show you how to do things.
Yes.
Holy Spirit is great.
Yes, he is. Yes,
he
is.
He help you with everything.
Yes, yes.
Amen. That's. Amen. You know what else he does? He qualifies you for jobs.
That's right. Say that.
Mm-hmm. That you wouldn't really be qualified for.
I rely
on my daughter on this one. My daughter, she was in higher education, and she was going to apply for a job. And she was discouraged when she would apply for it because there was another guy who applied for it and had wrote a book about it, the whole area that she was going to study. And she was discouraged. So he got a doctorate degree. He wrote a book on this. I said, God know everything. Take the interview, because she's going to not interview. I said, go ahead and do the interview. And so she went, and she interviewed first. And the guy hired her. And she got the job.
All right.
See, God qualifies you.
Say it.
You can have stuff that you don't even know how to do, but God will qualify you in there.
It is.
God knows everything.
Yeah.
There are many things I wasn't qualified for, but God qualified me. Faith works. Faith works, y'all. It's not just a spiritual thing. It's a God thing. God knows everything. God made everything. Praise God. The world trying to figure out stuff God know what it is already. You read your National Geographics, see how long the earth been moving, what's been doing. God know all that. God ain't trying to figure nothing out. He knows all that. Faith in God. When we have faith in God, we receive knowledge of God. God gives us knowledge. He gives us understanding. Praise the Lord. I'm trying to talk about faith. Faith don't just cover your spiritual walk. Faith covers your walk. It covers everything. Amen. Known and unknown. Searched and researched. Unsearched. God knows everything. Walk with him. Trust in him. Believe him. And you'll succeed. See, I follow Jesus. It's a plain path. I can't figure it out. Why is it plain? Because he tell me. You know, so a lot of us trying to figure out what we need to do. Listen. He didn't have an ear to hear. Let him hear. What the Spirit is saying. He is erecting us. God's not, he don't have us in a dark place, stumbling around trying to make it. He directs us. He shows us. I'm trying to talk about faith. What I'm saying is this, faith is following God. Faith is following God.
Mm-hmm.
Young ministers, let me tell you something. God will lead you by his Holy Spirit.
Yes, he will.
Let me tell you something. See, there are some things, you got mentors, they'll teach you.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some things your mentors don't know.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord.
Right.
The Lord let me know, he said, I gave you a mentor. He said, but that's something, this is what I'm trying to take you to. Your mentor don't know how to get there. They haven't been there.
Right.
Your calling is different from that. He have not been an apostle. I'm calling you to be an apostle. He said, when your mentor can't get you there, the Holy Spirit will get you there.
All right.
The Holy Spirit is always with you.
Right.
Your mentor won't always be with you.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit will know where you're going.
Yes.
He knows your end.
Yeah.
He knows what God requires of you.
Mm-hmm.
He could get you there. Follow him.
Yeah. All right.
Praise the Lord. I'm not talking about myself now. But you know, when I have to talk about myself. when I was called to be an apostle, I had no idea what that was.
I was looking at Paul and Peter and them. And I said, Lord, when he said, called to be an apostle, I said, how's it going to happen? I don't know no apostles. Because so you got to have to get to know somebody to get somebody right. I said, I don't know no apostles. And he said, Elijah, call to be an apostle. I said, okay. And that's back in the time when there wasn't apostles. I went to this a group. It was a group of pastors, and they was talking about their pedigree and their degree. And he said, who are you? I said, I'm Apostle Elijah. He said, how can you be an apostle? Ain't no more apostles. I said, well, somebody forgot to tell God then. Because that's what God called me, you know. But I didn't know how I was going to be an apostle. And here in Austin, I was in Austin. Mm-hmm. Then I found out some apostles in Dallas, they had a meeting, and they invited me. They didn't even know me. They invited me to the meeting. I went to the meeting. I didn't know what to do, but I went there. But I went to, in 1996, I went to Germany, mm-hmm. Rhein Main, mm-hmm. Did a revival there. And while I was in a revival in Germany, I met Apostle Boyd. I ain't no Apostle Boyd. He came to the meeting. He said, he was talking to me. I said, I was doing a revival. He said, I'm going to come back one night. I said, good. And so it was on Tuesday night. And that Friday night, he showed up. He said, man, he said, I had to come. I said, you did? He said, yeah. He said, God told me to come back here and anoint you as an apostle. I said, really? I didn't know him. I went to Germany as a pastor, came back as an apostle. I didn't know this guy. But he told me God told him to anoint me, and I said, he said, would you do that? I said, yeah, God said it. See, God handles things. You don't have to go and find nobody. I've had people come to me, you know, apostle, do you anoint folks? I said, when God tell me. Can you anoint me as an elder? I said, no, I can't. Why? I said, because God didn't tell me. See, I can only do in the earth realm what God have done in the heaven realm. And I only know it down in the heaven realm when he tell me. You don't want to find nobody to consecrate you. God take care of that. Amen. If you got to find somebody yourself, there's something wrong with you. God handles his business. He takes care of his business. Walk by faith and not by sight. Praise God. God will show you. God will tell you what to do. Faith works. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Walk by faith. I guess we're supposed to talk about faith. It's real. It works. Hallelujah. It works. You don't have to go and ask somebody, is this working? You know, how did I do? You don't need to ask nobody now. Follow God. If you got to ask somebody, there's something wrong. And I keep saying this. I guess the Lord had me to do this. I keep saying this because God keep putting it in my spirit. Stop praying and looking for a miracle. Thank you, Lord. Don't sound good, does it? Stop praying and looking for a miracle. We're not walking by sight, looking for stuff. The Lord said, don't pray and look for a miracle. Pray and believe for a miracle. Hallelujah. If God said it, believe it. You people who are praying and looking, stop looking. Pray and believe. Thank you, Lord. There's a guy, and y'all might know him. It was Pastor Carter. We was in Spain, went to the hospital. Young lady was there, and we prayed for her. you know. And we left a few years ago, went to San Antonio. And this lady found us. She said, "You remember me?" I said, "What you? Who are you?" Tell me who she was. I said, "I don't remember." She said, "Y'all came to the hospital in Spain. I had cancer. Y'all prayed for me. I'm healed."
All right. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
See, I never pray looking.
That's right.
I pray believing.
Yes, sir. All right, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord.
All right.
I don't even check on them. You know, are they healed? How they now? No. I pray and believe. Because what is happening or not, I don't know. I believe God. If God said do it, I do it and believe God. Yes. God bring it to pass.
Yes. Right.
I don't have to see it.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord. We want to see too much.
Yeah.
We need to start believing.
Right.
Believe what God says.
Ah.
When I go and pray for somebody, I pray for them, leave them, forget them.
Yeah. Yes.
God takes care of it.
Yeah. Right.
I don't need to prove anything to anybody.
Right.
I can't do nothing.
God
is able.
All right. All right.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I pray people to my hand. You know, I put this hand on you. What is that? Nothing. You got a hand of flesh. Your hand can't do nothing. God is the one who heals. God is the one who does things. He's able to do things. Stop taking credit for yourself.
Come on,
Father. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get to heaven and try to find out who I got healed there. I ain't going to even look for no on nobody. I'm just going to go there, believe God that I'm there, and enjoy being there. Some of y'all need some, what you call it? Ego strikes. Did I hear you? Did I pray for you and get you got healed? Who cares? Pray and let God do his job.
Yeah.
God is the one who's working, not you.
Right.
Hallelujah. One thing, you know, people tell me, well, ministers now, I heal someone. So I said, let me tell you something. I read what Christ went back to heaven in the 17th chapter of John. And he reported back to the Father. He didn't say, "Father, I heal the blind. Heal the sick. I make the blind see. I make the lame walk." He didn't say anything. He said, "Father, I gave them thy word."
Yeah. All right.
That's our job.
All right.
Give the word.
Yes.
Let the word take care of it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
He said, "Lord, I gave them thy word."
Yeah.
Jesus came to give the word of God. It's our positions as ministers, as workers, as witnesses, is to give the word of God.
Right.
Not to report of what we do, how great we did.
Right.
Give the word of God. Give the word and let the word handle it.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It's the word of God that works.
The word.
You can't work the word. The word, I heard, you know, I was in Germany once. I heard a guy preaching. Sounded so good. He said, "I'm working with a word that's working with me." You know how you said, "Well, I'm going to preach that somewhere. God would let me preach that at all."
All right.
I'm working with a word. God said, "You don't work my word. My word work you."
Yeah. All right.
It's probably a lot of us who are trying to work the word.
Mm-hmm.
We're working the word on people.
Yeah.
No, just preach the word. Just speak the word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let the word work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Bible tells me, praise the Lord, that the Holy Spirit works the word in us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As we believe God.
Yeah.
As we believe, he'll work the word in us.
Yeah.
Praise God. Amen. The Holy Spirit will help us. Let me tell you something else too. Y'all need to get some Holy Ghost.
Right.
And start begging folks. Mm-hmm. Call me. Wake me up so I get home. I get there on time. I wasn't a good pastor at all, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I had one, he said, "Pastor, I need you to call me. I need you to wake me up." I said, "You don't need me to call you. I ain't gonna call you."
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because I was going to do it. But God said, don't call him. He said, the same one that wake you up, going to wake him up. And that's the Holy Spirit. And I learned that from Elijah. You remember Elijah? When he was about to leave here, and God told him that anointed a successor, he went and found Elias and put the cape on him, the cloak. He didn't beg him to come. Follow me. Come on, man. Come on. He put the cloak on him and took off. And Elijah caught up with him. See, if you are following God, you catch up. Catch up with me. Don't have me catch up with you. He followed Elijah. And Elijah would go somewhere. He was going to leave him. And Elijah would want to go with him. And Elijah was trying to dissuade him. Don't go. But Elisha kept following him. And then after following him for 13 years, after 13 years, Elijah asked him, what do you want? He said, I want a double potion. All right. 13 years. See, we are too soft. We want things right now.
All right.
We got to follow a while.
All right.
Thank you, Lord. And Elijah made sure that Elijah wasn't out of his sight. He kept on following him. And then Elijah told me, he said, what you asked for me is not mine to give. He said, but if you're with me, God will take care of it. See, we're giving folks too much stuff. Let God handle it. That's why they're in bad shape they are in now, because we're giving them too much stuff. We make it too easy for them. Follow God. It's in the journey. Your calling is in your journey. Your benefit is in your journey. When you're walking with God, God raised you up. God calls you to be. God helped you to be. It's in your walk with him. It's in the walk of faith. Sometimes things happen too easy for people. Let God handle it. Because you'll get fleshy and give it to him. But no, let God give it to him. I'm not going to be finding you, try to give you something, unless God tell me. Calling you, come on, you, for we at church. Get up, come on. I found this out, Bishop. If the flesh keep helping me, I'm always need the flesh.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Uh-huh. And that's what God showed me. He said, if you help them, they're going to always need you. He said, but let them trust me.
That's right.
The same way you trust me, let them trust me.
Yeah. Right.
And I found out that the Holy Spirit is a motivator. Uh-huh. He's the one that motivates me to get up in the morning. Uh-huh. He's the one that motivates me to go when I don't feel like going. He's the one that helped me.
Say that.
Thank you, Lord. When it don't feel like going. The Holy Spirit does that. Don't take the Holy Spirit's job. Let the Holy Spirit do what he do. You can't do his job. Hallelujah. Walk by faith. When we start walking by faith, we'll do better.
All right.
We will act better. We'll be more appreciative. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you. You say, well, you're hard. I'm not hard. Amen. God wants us to follow him. God wants us to be serious about following him. Hallelujah. And sometimes, y'all, you don't want stuff bad enough. If you did, you'll get it. You got to really want it. Keep going. Thank you, Lord. You don't want deliverance bad enough. But when things get hard, you'll try to do something. You get serious. See, God wants us to really want stuff. Hallelujah. He said, in one area, he said, in Luke, he said, there's some going to seek the end and won't find it. You won't find it because he said, you're seeking the end. He said, no, you got to strive the end. Some things you've got to strive to do. Strive with some effort to get it done. Strive to enter in. Put some effort in it. Let it cost you something. Some things are too free. It cost us something. Jesus paid a price for you. It cost him. And he didn't mind paying it. The Bible said he's obedient unto suffering. It tells us, amen. Peter tells us, as Christ suffered, arm yourself likewise. We've got to not throw our hands up when things get tough. Arm yourself likewise. Strive. Thank you, Lord. Because they don't give it to you, you're going to be, you're all upset. Oh, you need to give this to me. Be real. He says, strive to enter in. Because I'm going to seek it in the end and ain't going to make it. You got to really want to do it. Jesus gave up a whole lot for us. It didn't feel good on the cross. He could have stepped down. He had the privilege of doing what he wanted to do. He was a son. But he went through it. One time he said, Lord, he said, why have you forsaken me? But he went through it. He went through it. We need to follow God. Whatever his will is. Thank you, Lord. Oh, something looks bad, don't they? But whatever his will is. I've learned to pray, Bishop. Lord, whatever your will is, I accept your will. I'd rather not do some things. I'd rather not go through some things. But Lord, what your will is, because I know in your will there's something in that for me. Everything that happens, those that are called by him, happen for the good. Even this is for the good. I don't have no problem with God at all. I'm not upset with God at all. I love him. I thank him for all I've experienced. And I'm glad for by when I go through stuff because I'm still here. And he's still with me. Hallelujah. I said, Lord, whatever your will is, I accept your will. I've heard him say, you know, you? That happened to you? So what? It happens to me too. I'm just like anybody else. I'm no exception at all. I'm a human being. I went through a lot of things. I went through a lot, made a lot of mistakes. Went through a lot of things. But God still had me here. And I love him because he still had me here. Made some mistakes. I've been forgiven. I forgive. And have no grudges. Have no axe to grind. I thank God.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I thank God. I glory in whatever he does. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. I glory in whatever he does.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Yes. Might be so tough for you, but it's not tough for me. Amen. I love God. I wouldn't change this journey for nothing.
Right.
All of my experience, I enjoy all of my experiences. I thank God for blessing me. I want you to just kind of tell you to trust God. Don't let it depend on how your situation goes. Don't let it depend on how you feel. Trust God because he's God. God can change anything. If he don't change it, he can. Don't get upset because it don't change. See, sometimes we don't get things, we throw a tangent. Do like it was just, you know, you have had kids? I've had kids they get a throw a tangent far out on the floor. I don't pick them up to get up. You know, don't pick them up. Because right. Life is gonna be full of tangents. Right. You got to recover from. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Don't abandon them now. Don't abuse them. Trust God. Lord, shall I get them out of this? They in jail, shall I get them out? Holy Spirit guides you. He's the best guide. They tell me, you know, you ask too much. Well, I don't think so. I have to always check with God. You're too slow. I have to always check with God. Why don't you do this right now? Because God didn't say do it right now. Oh, when God give me an urgency, I get urgent. Yeah. When God give me an urgency, but you, when you give it to me, it won't rush me. Right. Well, Pastor, I need. Well, praise God. When you follow God, you won't go wrong. That's right. See, some things, when you ask people for and they don't give it to you, don't get mad with them. That's right. Because if God don't tell you, don't give it to you, I'm not going to give you anything that God don't tell me to give you. Say what you want to say about me. But if God said give it, I'll take care of it. We enable people by doing so much. But see what God's saying. Lord, is this what I need to do? He'll guide you. He won't get you to guide you wrong. Trust in the Lord. See, praise the Lord. I have to share this because I have a ministry. The Lord bless me with a ministry in Africa. And sometime I have to talk to him. I said, I'm not God. America is not God. You know, well, we don't have this over here. We have. I said, well, y'all got this in America. I said, well, God know where you are. He know what country you're in. I had somebody ask for something a while back, not too long ago, and they was upset because I didn't do anything. I said, God will help you. I said, let me tell you something. I said, America is not full of money. God said, he said, if you trust in him, he'll bless you. Yeah. He'll supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Mm-hmm. You know, not of what's in there in Africa, not what's in America. Because, see, sometimes you don't have stuff in America. And God didn't say, I'll bless you according to your economy. He said, I bless you, call them richer than glory. And I said, well, I'm going to pray with you. We need, that's why we pray. And God will take care of it. And God blessed him. And he was calling me and telling me, I said, yeah, okay. See, when I first went there, they wanted to build a church. And they told me how much the church was going to cost. I said, okay, God can handle that. How much you have? We don't have nothing. How much you make? We don't make nothing. So I started tithing on what you make. Mm-hmm. Start giving offering on what you have. Yeah. And then he told me, God told me we're going to have a conference. We're going to have thousands of people to be there. I said, that's the dream God gave you? Yes, sir. I said, okay, believe it. Look for it. I ain't sending nothing. I said, I'm going to pray. And so they did. Then he told me that God blessed them with the conference. They had a conference. Mm-hmm. They had over 13,000 people there. Wow. Mm-hmm. I said, great. Y'all did. And God gave them 2 acres of land. The city gave it to them. As you see what God did? Now when God give you a vision, believe that vision. Yeah. Trust God for it. And God blessed them, and they got the land. And we was giving them an offering, you know, paying for their, they weren't making much money. I understand that. I was giving them a stipend every month. Give the pastors, because these people had jobs, weren't making money. And so I said, okay. So I said, take what you do. I said, what y'all get, y'all tithes off of that. Y'all give off of that. And God will bless you. And I said, I'm gonna stop paying your pastors rent. And I said, that's something y'all need to be done. Yeah. And if you do that, God gonna bless you. Yeah. Oh, Pastor, well, okay. So I stopped doing that, and I took pray for them. God blessed them. And I had a landlord was real mean to him, wasn't doing things right. And so God blessed him, and they was able to build the pastor a house. And the landlord that was giving him a hard time died. And then they had a house, and now they got to pay for the pastor to stay. Then they built a church. They sent me a picture. They built a church, a 500-seat church. They built it themselves. I didn't send them anything. And they found out what God can do. God did it. And they was praising God because of that. See, we need to get people to trust in God, not in us. Thank you, Lord. And now they are doing a tremendous job. And the ministry have spread from Liberia to Ghana, Sierra Leone, Abidjan. I've never gone to any of those places. Well, I went there. I went to Abidjan. I flew into Abidjan. Landed there. I thought it was in my sight, but it wasn't, I was at the wrong sight. Got out, and they said, this is not the place. I got on the plane. Well, what happened is this. I landed in 4 places. Didn't minister in any one of those places. In those 4 places I landed in, there's a ministry there now. God bless the ministry. It wasn't what I did. It was God. See, we need to trust God. And I don't claim him. God did it. See, we need to point people to God and show them that God is able. God can work anywhere. Don't care what kind of poverty you're in. God know about that. Thank you, Lord. I've been blessed, Bishop, to even minister in Thailand. And went and ministered in a Buddhist monastery. And there's an individual there who was a monk. See, in Buddha, in Thailand, the men had served the temple for 2 years. And this guy was serving him for 2 years. God sent me there to this monastery to minister to this man. Mm-hmm. And his testimony is that Jesus came to him in his barracks and told him who he was and told him he wanted to save him. And the man got saved and went and ministered in Thailand. He'll go into a village and they run him out. Preach against Buddha. They run him out. But he was anointed by God to minister with the Holy Spirit, with power and demonstration, and minister for God, and God bless him. And you go over there and you have an altar call. People are so humble, they won't even walk to the altar. They crawl to the altar. And when you tell them that, you know, God, they say, I know Jesus, that's G.I. God. I say, no, he's everybody's God. Mm-hmm. God is saving everywhere. Mm-hmm. And they are ministering there, preaching there. Mm-hmm. God is moving. Mm-hmm. The world is hungry, y'all. All right. It don't have to be something that you blow a horn about what you did. It's what God does. Very seldom I talk about going over, being over there, but I went there and ministered there. Mm-hmm. went to see Buddha, Bangkok. Mm-hmm. They got this gold Buddha. Mm-hmm. Buddha's 100 feet high. Yep. Gold. But let me tell you about Buddha now. They got to go ahead and clean Buddha off. Birds mess him up. I said, now what kind of God is that? That Buddha can't clean himself. See, God is moving, y'all. They go and have a Buddha parade down the street, and they carry Buddha down the street. What kind of God is that? I said, I know a God that can hear. I know a God that can walk. I know a God that's alive. God is moving. You just got to be faithful now. Believe God. I don't care where you are. You got to be in America. Be in a foreign land. Believe God. God is able. And he's still moving. All he wants you to do is have faith in him. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. You don't need to go around thumping and hollering. Just walk for the Lord. The Bible said this. He said, we should be the light of the world. It even said this. Amen. It says that the light of God shall shine even in a perverse nation. The world is perverse. That's all right. God still shines. You ain't got to walk around and beat people over the head. Just love them with the love of God. And God will love them to him. The love of God constrains us. Thank you, Lord. We need to fall in love with God and follow him and do everything he said do. My time is running out, brother. I got to quit. But God wants us to follow him. Let your faith come alive. Let your faith come alive. Is faith dead? Yours might be. Let your faith come alive. If it ain't moving, it must be dead. God wants us to be alive in faith. Let me just say, God love you. I love you. Follow God. God have great things for you. There are so many things you haven't even seen, haven't heard yet, God got for you. Yes. You believe him. Yes. Trust him. Amen. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm like Paul. I believe that he is able to keep that which I have permitted unto him against that day. It's coming a time. See, now, our faith is being tried. It's being proven. Right. Situation can't kill your faith. Mm-hmm. You do. That's right. Situation can't stop your faith. You keep walking in faith. Because faith is what's going to take for us to get out of this world. To be with the Lord. He said, when the Son of Man come, will he find faith on earth? I can answer for you, but I can answer for me. Yes, Lord, I will remain faithful. Hallelujah. In all things, I will remain faithful. I will follow you everywhere you go and do whatever you said do. And when I go there, I'll glorify you. I won't try to do anything for myself. They don't have to know who I am. I want to know who you are. We are his witnesses. What kind of witness are you going to be? In Jesus' name. I have to stop, Bishop.
Hallelujah.